looking for DJC monitoring.
For DJC, I think KD2BNG.
KD2BNG, I think, is in for DJC, November 4, Delta Juliet, Charlie. Everything going well this afternoon?
Let's see, okay. Yeah, no, nothing going on. I just going to try to go out to get a few things and basically do nothing like yesterday and the day before.
I think there's a whole string of days like that for us. Has been. Of course, I'm retired, so it doesn't really make a big difference to me, but it is nice. At least the weather's good anyway.
The weather's nice. I actually feel the sun. Temperature's got a, almost seems like it's close to 80, or like mid-70s. So, at least for doing nothing, you got the perfect day for it.
Yep, I cooked out some hamburgers at lunch today, so it was a nice afternoon. It wasn't too terrible hot out there. It probably is now, but it wasn't too terrible hot out there around lunchtime, but it was nice to be able to get out and grill out some stuff. And at least, not breathe too much of the pollen in.
It's my first stop, and I got time. I'm in no hurry. Yeah, what do I need? I need sugar and cat food, and that's about it. I always need cat food. But, yeah, you know, I should get out more often. I should get out and maybe just sit around and sit outside. It's a perfect day for it.
Yeah, it is. As long as there's, well, you don't have any allergy troubles, the pollen's pretty bad today, I think. But didn't bother me too much that day, as windy as it was earlier. But sometimes it does. I think the mold bothers me more than the pollen does sometimes. I did want to ask about the audio on this radio. This is a fairly new rig, and I really don't know how, whether I have the mic sensitivity settings up or not. I don't talk very loud anyway, and I didn't know whether the audio was halfway decent under or not.
Just about where you have it set. Sounds very good. Yeah, you know, modulation's about right. Audio's about right. I would just, whatever it's set at, leave it.
I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said it sounded a little low, but as I said, I don't speak very loudly anyway, and I've got had some dental work done, waiting on some implants, so I don't speak very clearly anyway without whistling, so that's got a lot to do with it, I'm sure. But, of course, somebody said audio was a little low the other day, and I cranked it up a notch or two, and I've been using it the last couple of days like that, so just wanted to make sure it was loud enough. I was contacted a guy in Iowa yesterday on the SO-50 satellite, and he didn't seem to be having any trouble copying me on it, so I think it's okay.
It was fine. Oh, okay, so you got a satellite rig. I gotta make something like an antenna pointer, some sort of steerable antenna mount. That'd be an interesting thing to play with. I've never played with it.
This is just a Yaesu handheld. The Kenwood won't, you can't do a split band frequency on the Kenwood handhelds, but you can on the Yaesus, and with the SO-50, it's just, uplink is 145.850, so you don't have to change the doppler on that, but you do the downlink is 436.795. You have to be able to shift the doppler up and down 5, so what most people do is put 5 frequencies in the radio, 185 up on each of the 5 frequencies, and then do the center frequency at 795 and move it up or down 5 on each side, and that way you can track it as it comes across the sky. And it runs about 5 watts. I use an elk antenna. It's a little log periodic handheld job. And it works really well. It's pretty compact. It's got a flat SWR across it, and you really don't need anything else other than that for the FM satellites. A full duplex rig is probably better, but they're not meaning that only the D72 Kenwood has that feature. And really, it's not that big of a deal. Either that or you can run 2 radios.
Not with a handheld antenna, a handheld radio. and just, I guess, sort of pretty much guess where it is in the sky at any given time. Yeah, I guess you need full duplex. Well, you need full duplex if you want to hear how your signal's coming back down. Aside from that, no, I guess you don't need it.
I think we're on two radios. They can, you know, the downlink is, since the downlink is 436, you see you can get an inch basic radio for the downlink. If you sort of do it that way, but it's not a big deal, especially if you're running 5 watts. You're not really crowding anybody. It's not like some of these guys running 100 watts and not being able to hear themselves, but guy heard me pretty well yesterday. I talked to him, but, you know, SQ says it's fairly short, but as far as, yeah, you can, there's an app that you can get for an iPhone or Android phone called ISS Tracker, and it tracks it in real time. It actually has a little radar set up deal on where you can see it, see where it's located, just track your beam by hand across there, or if you have an elevation azimuth rotator, you can, you know, some of the software programs will track them automatically, but that's getting a little complex for me.
N2YO.com, he has satellite trackers for maybe 100 different satellites, but, yeah, satellite tracker for the app, I don't know. I guess there is an iPhone app, or an Android app.
That's what I've used last year. It's a lot more convenient. It'll notify you when it'll notify you when one's within 10 minutes, and you can set it for certain elevations. You know, if you don't have with a handheld antenna, you can't, unless you've got a clear view of the riser, you won't be locking into it at below 20 degrees. 30 is a little better, but the ones that go up, the high azimuth ones that go up to 80 or 90, those are a little harder to track, and you don't get that, you don't have that possibility to get those more distant grid squares. For instance, the other day I was working the ISS on APRS through the digipeater, and I got a guy in Mexico and a guy in Canada, but it was low passes, that'll work because the footprint of the satellite is a little more distant, you know, that way. But overhead, you generally hear people almost within a call, you know, within 300 or 400 miles. That's about it.
But it's also a good deal closer. If it's 50 or 20 degrees above the horizon, let me see how far that translates. Let's see, my trigonometry not so good right now. That might be 1,000 miles away to that satellite. It's low enough on the horizon.
Yeah, it's on the, you know, see, that all the transmit and receive on that is all on 145.825, so it's just up and down links the same. Since it's a VHF, you don't have to worry too much about Doppler, and it's pretty easy to get into it, and you can generally hear it. It's like trees and obstructions more of an issue than distance is. You do have to deal with it. Generally, 20 degrees, I know guys that have some rigs, they can actually hear it when it hits 5 degrees above the horizon. And they'll run, you may have to run maybe 10 or 25 watts to get into it then, but generally it's still pretty easy. They've worked on the radio. They've actually got a Kenwood D710. They got one. They got a couple of new ones up there now, but they don't have operating yet. But it's basically an amateur radio has just been, you know, gone over for what it needs to be done in space and work both sides, the Russian side and the other side, because the Russians run a 28-volt DC input instead of a 12-volt. Anyway, they have a bunch of stuff they have to do to get it ready for space.
Systems are that way. Some 28-volt direct current system. Well, there's 110 volts AC at like 400 hertz or something strange like that. That sounds like general aircraft voltage. So it's just a question of practicing with the antenna. Okay, I know it's going to be overhead for 35 seconds at about this elevation, so let me just practice moving my hand so that it sweeps over, and because with a handheld antenna, it's just going to be guesswork. But yeah, I've seen people do that on YouTube. I've seen YouTube videos of someone working a satellite with a handheld radio and some sort of handheld antenna.
The app is, it tells you the elevation you need to hold the antenna. It also tracks it across the sky. You just look at the app and you just move, you know, it's got a little pointer that moves it. You just point the antenna towards whatever the app says. And of course, you can hear it with a, most of these antennas are, you know, they have wide enough, they're wide enough where, you know, you can hear the satellite, you know, if, you don't have to be right on it to hear it. The satellites and the space station, both of them are over, actually, the usable, it's probably about 10, 12, 15 minutes. I mean, you got plenty of time to catch it.
I had at least, well, it depends on, a good 10 or 15 minutes, maybe longer. But, I've never tried that. I was thinking I would build some sort of tracking rig, you know, with little motorized actuators to actually make like a little motorized space station antenna. But, I mean, yeah, you can do what you say. It's not terribly difficult.
There are portable mechanisms to do it, too. There's a portable deal where you can, you know, but then you got to have your battery power, and you got to have it hooked up to computer, and it, some type of computer to track it, and the satellite software integrates with the rotors, fuel rotors. But actually, the easiest way to do it is just to take a, at least what I do, if I don't hold the antenna, is I take a, I've got a small PVC stand I put outside, and I've got it mounted up about 4 or 5 feet off the ground, and I put a 22.5 degree cover on the PVC, then mount the antenna on top of that, so it gives me about a 22 degree. You can hit, you know, unless it's a high overhead pass, you can keep that antenna at about 20 to 25 degrees. You know, it'll cover just about everything if you can, as long as you got a, as I said, as long as you got a clear view of the horizon, because these satellite, handheld satellite antennas they build are pretty wide. Yeah, they got a pretty wide angle. So you don't have to be, it's not real notchy until you get into some of these more complex and expensive ones. But like I said, this one, the boom on this one, is not but 22 inches long.
We've got the azimuth and elevation to within, a few degrees. Doesn't have to be dead on. And the rotation, too, because the polarization will keep changing. So you have to, I guess, periodically just keep rotating the antenna, because polarization will go from horizontal to vertical to something in between. Well, you know, now you got me interested. Now when I get a chance, I got to build something like that.
Don't worry too much about polarization with the space station. It's, you know, the antenna, you may have to change from vertical to horizontal, but I have about as good a look just leaving it vertical as trying to move it around. But although on the SO-50 and some of the FM voice satellites, so you do have to move those around because some of those are tumbling, and you may have to move that. And then if it's tumbling, if it's got the Doppler, since you have a Doppler shift at the UHF frequency, you got to deal with that too. But it's pretty easy to notch them in. It's not a, you don't have to be dead on. Matter of fact, I can, sometimes it's high overhead pass, I can even have the antenna just laid on the ground trying to get ready for it, and it'll pick up a signal from the space station. But you can hear it on rubber duck most of the time.
Research that more. I got the various satellite tracking programs. I just got to figure out how many amateur radio satellites are still out there. There's at least a dozen or more. And a lot of them aren't real big. You know, a lot of the newer ones are like little CubeSats. So those are the ones that are tumbling. The antenna with respect to the ground keeps changing.
SO-50, the Saudi satellite, that's a small one. It's probably maybe, it's probably less than a foot square. But there's probably a half a dozen of them, but they're really the only reliable ones out there right now. The space station is all digital, unless you happen to catch a voice, simply a voice from one of the astronauts happen to get on, get something there. They do these cools a lot right now, but you know, as far as talking to individual amateurs, that's not, doesn't happen real often. You can hear them maybe once a year on there. It's pretty easy to hear. But, you know, they got, they're not running a quarter watch. They're running plenty of power, and then you know, you've got a clear view of them as well. But you got SO50, you got AO91 and 92. I think 92 is not working very well right now. AO7. You got a bunch of the other digital satellites that are working at telemetry, and some of them are linear, which use, you know, sideband, which is a little more difficult to work. But there, you can generally on those. If you get on those, you can generally have an actual QSO with somebody rather than just exchanging your call sign and your grid number.
An Oscar, or did that one die with the 1960s? Because there have been some satellites out there for quite a long time. There was a whole Oscar series, 1 through 9 or 10. But, you know, now I'm going back 30 years, 40 years.
Yeah, I worked a lot of those older satellites years ago, and AO7 is still, Oscar 7 is still operating, although it's got a weakened battery. They don't leave it on all the time. I think you can only operate it, you know, during the daytime hours. And but it's a good one to operate with. You know, operate just, you know, some of them have a 10 meter uplink, some of them have a 1290, you know, have a 1200 megahertz uplink and downlink, and there's a lot of them that just do telemetry type things, and you know, some of them send telemetry and slow scan TV. I got a few pictures from the space station on slow scan last fall. They sent a series of about a dozen or so pictures, and that's all that is, just being able to have a handheld that's got a recorder in it, record the signal, and then play the signal back into an app on your iPhone, and it'll decode this slow scan TV signal.
These different operating modes and operating methods I never even thought much about. I have to get more into this hobby. Anyway, let me go into Dollar General and pick up some cat food. And you'll probably still be here when I get out. I'm just going to be a few minutes, but let me see. I need a cat food and sugar, and that'd be about it. So I'll be back. 82BNG.
KD2BNG, N4DJC. I'll probably be off here for a little bit. I got my daughter and grandkids are going to just stop by, not by the house, but at the distance, stop out on the road and got to pick up a few things from us. And I think they're on the way now, but I may or may not be on here. But if not, I'll talk with you again. And if we do catch up, I'll be glad to talk to you some more. But it's really interesting. This is an interesting part of the hobby to me. I've been out of about 10 or 15 years up until last year. I've been licensed since 79. But anyway, but I'll talk to you again. Have a nice afternoon. And talk to you later. N4DJC clear.
KDC, KD2BNG clear. You have a good one, man.